The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as in from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on the cutting edge.
Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 3. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, Pastor PB, I'm again being prayer for him as they're away. It's kind of, you know, I guess reassuring in a lot of ways and just a blessing that, you know, our pastor even called us just before the service. He said, let's have a word of prayer. PB's heart's here. You know, he may not be here right now, but his heart's here. And so if you would be in prayer for him because they're on their vacation, that Lord would just encourage them. If you've never been in the shoes of a pastor, you don't realize the responsibility that they take on themselves and how the devil fights. Wow. So let's be in prayer for him. Galatians chapter 3, Pastor finished off with verse number 1, but I'd like to read verse 1 down to verse 8, and then I want to jump down to verse 22 and down to verse number 29 of the chapter. In verse 1 we read, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now notice those are questions. All the way through these verses, there's many questions. He said in verse 3, And are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. Verse 22, But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before that faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If correctly read, down to verse 29. Let's all bow our heads this morning now as we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the songs that have been sung this morning. I thank you so much how the Holy Spirit is able to just move in the hearts of people. Dear God, we thank you many years ago that you moved into my heart for the first time. And Lord, much of what I'll say today has to do with that, that we can understand that we're no longer under a bondage of things we have to do, but we're underneath a blessing and the whole idea of grace and that the things that we love to do. We just pray that you bless our service now this morning, each heart, each life that's here. May you just meet that need. And all of what you do for us, we'll thank you and praise you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. In chapter 3, the book of Galatians, very familiar verses. In fact, verse number 1, PB brought out in verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? In verse number 1, PB finished there, and I'm going to take off from verse 2 on down through the chapter. But I'd like to give you a message this morning on we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Each person here in the service today, I imagine all of us, if we took the time, we could ask each one of you, what exactly was your experience when you met Jesus Christ? You know, we all have testimonies. We all have something in our life that we've learned through Christ. Maybe some of us may have been religious like Paul. Paul was a very religious man. We might be an atheist. I remember a fella came to me one time and he said, I got saved on a motorcycle. And I said, well, now how did that happen? Well, he told me, he said, you know, he went to a revival meeting for 2 or 3 days and the word was working in his mind and heart. And he said, you know, I was riding down the road one day and I realized everything the preacher said was true. And I got to thinking about it. I said, and he thought to himself, I've never done anything like that. And so as he began to ride down the road, he's humming down the road and he's thinking, wow, you know, and I am a pretty bad person, so I am a sinner by heart. And he said, well, I wonder if God would save me here. And he's zooming down the highway on a motorcycle. And he said, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save me. And you know, that man got saved. And the whole fact is, that's exactly the way any of us get saved. It's hearing by the word of God. It's the moving of the Holy Spirit. It's accepting the message that reads to us that all of us are sinners and we have to come to Christ through Christ in order to be saved. And then accepting him into our heart as Lord and Savior. Everybody comes the same way. Well, we could be religious, an atheist, moral, wicked, educated, unlearned, all of these in fact, but we all must come the very same way through the very same message. I look back on my life and I'm so thankful in the Psalms it talked about past. Do you have a past? In my past, I was 18 years of age when I first came to know Christ as my Savior. I was raised in a Catholic Methodist home. I was involved in drugs and alcohol at that age. I was involved in a lot of things I should have had no business being a part of. But you know, as a kid, I was starting to search. When I was 15 years of age, my mother died of leukemia, complications from leukemia. And so mother wasn't around the house anymore. Dad spent a lot more time on the road doing things and trying to figure his life out at the same time. And here I am, a 15-year-old boy wanting to figure out what is life all about. Well, again, I went in drugs and alcohol. I went that direction. I partied. If you'd have seen me driving down the highway, I was in a 74 Vega. I had a little console right here where I had my bong. Now, I had my bong there, and I had 4 hoses, 2 for the front seat, 2 for the back seat. And as we drive down Dale Mabry Highway, that's how we spend our time. Bong is something you smoke, things that are not very legal nowadays. But that was the lifestyle that I lived, and that was the place I was before I came to know Christ. Now, I thought I was a pretty good guy. I thought I was very moral. I was working a job at the golf course. I started there when I was 12 or 13 years of age. And I thought, you know, everything's pretty good. But you know, I tried to mix 2 things together. I mixed a party life, living the way I wanted to please myself. And I mixed it with a life of trying to be, get this, a professional golfer. Now, I got up early in the morning. I'd get up at 5:30 in the morning right before school. I'd hit balls in the, it would be in pitch dark right there in front of my house off the 13th hole of Babe Sarah's golf course. And I'd hit the balls just to learn what the feel is when you hit the ball. You know, I used to practice every time. I mean, all the time, every morning, then I go to practice. And I finally got to a point where I became the number one man on the golf team. Now, I thought I had life all together. I mean, I was partying, living my life on Friday nights. All week long during school, I was doing a little bit more and more and more as I became a senior in high school. But there were some things I also had to stop and realize, just like these Galatians, and that is, you can't allow yourself to mix those 2 things together. You know what the Judaizers were telling these people in Galatia? They said, now, we accept the fact you say that you know Jesus. Oh, that's very good. It's all good and well. But they said, but we want you to live a life just like you used to by the rituals and the things that you always practiced. Now, isn't that like the devil does a lot of times? He doesn't say give up the world and the things of this life completely, but what he says is just add a little bit of these things to it. Mix it together. Well, I tried that for quite some time, but these Galatians people were not much different. We're going to find out, first of all, that these Galatians had to overcome a few things, and it had to do with 3 different words. The first one was the word outward. The second one is the word works, and the third one is the word faith. Now, if you were a Judaizer in that day and time, the first thing you were concerned about is, how do I look? I mean, it looks for everything. If you look religious, if you wore the right kind of collar, if you were like the Pharisees and you had the long gown dresses on and the material things on your breasts, you were a very godly man. Well, they considered the outward very important. Second of all, they considered works and their rituals or obeying the law as important. Now, I remind you, they're doing this in a process. First of all, it's outward was important. Works was second, but notice the third thing, and that was faith. Now, in their eyes, faith was the results of their works. Otherwise, the more they worked, the more faith they had in God, the more God was pleased with them. And this is what these Judaizers were doing to the Galatian believers. Now, they knew Christ. They had the Spirit inside them. They were living by God and God's leadership. And that's why Paul made these comments in verse 2. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I mean, he's trying to get them to realize these people are trying to get you to live according to the way you used to live, but how are you supposed to live now? Now, three more words. The Judaizers were doing their way, but the Christians' three words were inward, faith, and works. Now, we concern ourselves, first of all, with the inside man. If you ever came to know Christ as Savior, it started from an inward change in your heart. You accepted Him into your life. That's the starting of it. But the second thing was, and that is faith, and they come in that order, inward, then faith. Otherwise, we have a changed heart, but now we have a changed belief. Now, has there ever been a time in your life where your life changed the way that you think and the way you believe about God? Well, then comes, in this order, Christians' inward faith, but the last one is works. Now, we don't work in order to be saved. That's what the Judaizers couldn't get. But we work because we are saved. We love God because of what He did do. All those things are working in these positive ways for the Galatians. Well, I want to give you just a brief outline down from verse 1 on down to the chapter. There's four things. There were positives that the Galatians had. The first one we notice is that they were born in the Spirit. Verse 1. He said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. And then he says, this only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law. You know, in this verse, he's saying they had already received Christ and the Spirit was already working inside them. Now, I remind you, when songs like that are sung and people testify about God, there should be something fluttering inside your heart. There should be something that's telling you, you ought to raise your hand and thank the Lord. You ought to stand up and you ought to worship Him because He's inside you. These Galatians believers had this. They already believed in Jesus Christ. They received the Spirit. Verse 5, we read, he says, he therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit, or to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you. Otherwise, the Spirit was already working in them. It wasn't just that they accepted Him, but He was right there every day they lived, teaching them, showing them, and causing them to learn. Well, the Spirit worked in them. Verse 5, they were birthed into a new family in verse 7. He says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeth that God justified the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. Well, right now, I'm going to give you another quick topic in just a minute. But they were dealing with the issue of, okay, if we're supposed to do away with the works of the law, we're not living by that, we're living by faith. He said, why in the world did we ever have the law? Well, I remind you, the law was necessary to show us exactly who we are. You know, we don't like for people to come to us and say, now, Ron, he says, and they came to me and said the very same thing when I was 18 years old, said, Ron, you're a sinner. And they showed me from the Bible how I had an old sinful nature. You know, our inside nature when we're lost doesn't like to hear that. We don't want people to tell us that we're anything but perfect and good and we're going to be in heaven. Well, the fact is, we realize that we're sinners, and that's the first part of being born into God's family. They were blessed through Abraham. A third thing we notice, they began with a covenant in verse 15. He says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. Now, he's trying to teach them. The law had a place to teach them who they were, but now they're coming unto faith in Jesus Christ, and it's a whole new realm of grace. I'm glad that I don't live by rituals. I will tell you one thing, though. I love coming to church. You know, the fact is, people ask me sometimes, you know, how come you've got to go to church? You feel like every Wednesday you got to be there and every Sunday you got to be there. Because I like it. I mean, there's something inside me that I get encouraged. I mean, I work a regular full-time job just like everybody else here. I've been there 21 years at Epic Enterprises. I deal with the world on a daily basis. I need Wednesday night service to get my batteries charged. But you know what? It just seems like I get charged up on Wednesday. Then I go through Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Boy, I got to get to church on Sunday. You know, you'll get that way if you ever learn to just put these things in place about our faith in Jesus Christ. Well, they were blessed through Abraham. Third of all, they began with a covenant in verse 15 to 18. And then also they believed in a promise in verse 19 down to verse 22. He says, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." Now, the whole picture here is that the law had its place, but now we're unto grace. Well, as we continue verse number 23, I want to go ahead and go with our thoughts here. He says, "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." He says, "But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." Now, who exactly was the schoolmaster? Well, in Bible days, in biblical times, the schoolmaster wasn't just a regular teacher that taught inside the class. What he was is he was a trusted slave that carried a child or a young person's books and lyres, harps and things like that they needed for school. And he would carry these things for the child and bring them to school. Now, we're just like that as Christians. You know, the Holy Spirit has led us to a certain point. We got saved in Jesus Christ. But what happens after we come to know Christ as Savior is amazing, because He carries those things for them. He brings them to the door of the school and He says, "Okay, it's all yours." Now, I tell you, we're not under grace now, and we're not under law anymore. We are completely under grace. But I ask you a question. How have you been living your life in God's school? This schoolmaster led them to that certain point, but they all had choices that they also had to make. I was trying to mix those things together. In fact, popularity was something that was very important to me. Drugs and alcohol were very important as well. In my 7th and 8th grade years in school, I was a straight-A student. But when I got involved with smoking pot and doing drugs and those kind of things, everything just went out the door. I felt like the most important thing was for me to be a professional golfer and to enjoy myself and just have a great old time on the weekends and just party with all my buddies, and that was the way I wanted to live. But I want to remind you, as things began to go further and further, things got worse. Now, this is before I was saved. I was number one man on the golf team, and I kept the paper article around for quite a while. The coach got in the paper. This is right before our district tournaments. He said this, and how would you like to be known for this? He says, "They play super one day, poorly the next." He was kind of upset with us in the first place. I think he was upset at me as well. But he said, "We lost one player, Ron Kruger, to grades. We hope we can get him back for the conference and district. It would really help us." You know, otherwise, I go through life now, everybody's saying, "Yeah, you're a really good golfer." I was a scratch golfer, 17 years of age. I was the number one man on the golf team, but I tried to mix two things together and it just didn't work. You try to play sports, you think you can exercise, go to the gym, get your body physically strong, and still do the party life and just enjoy yourself and hang out with everybody else. You're going down a rough road that I already traveled. You know, not only that, I notice a lot of things about my own personal life, and I'll get more into that in just a minute. But the law itself in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 24 says, was our schoolmaster. The law was judgment, a guide of conduct, and with strict rules. But then grace comes along in chapter 3, verse number 25. After that faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. Grace is a guide of choice and fulfilled by love. Now, before you get the wrong idea, I remind you that now, if you have come to Jesus Christ as your Savior, that schoolmaster has brought you to a place in your life. He says, okay, the law told you were a sinner. The law is kind of done away with, but it had its purpose. Now you're living unto grace. How are you going to live each of your days today? I had a lot of lessons to learn, and I think I was just very confused. I was a kid that lost a lot of things. Again, my mother and other things happened during that year, and things were just taken out from underneath me. I remember I was called to the office one day, and they called me up, Ron Krueger, please come to the office. And I go inside this room, and there is 9 chairs filled with 9 different people. Principal, assistant principal, the other assistant principal, the dean of boys, my guidance counselor, my English teacher, my psychology teacher, my art teacher, all of them are sitting there waiting for me, and I walk inside this room. Now, I know I already screwed up, but you know what I had done? Even though I was smart enough to have straight A's and didn't care about it anymore because of the things I was doing in my life, I took one of those eligibility slips that I had. And if you play a sports, I think you still have to do that. And you have to have every teacher sign the class and put down what your grade is and what your conduct grade is, and they have to sign it. I've got my eligibility slip up here if you want to see it later. But this eligibility slip came through there, and, oh yeah, I'm going to be a professional golfer, and I handed it to my first teacher. And I handed it to my second teacher. And I had so many D's on there, I said, nope, they won't even let me play this week. Well, I thought I got to do something. You know what I did? Took my pen and made all those D's B's. Now, I thought I was really smart. Well, I'm going to get to play the tournament. You know, I'm number one man on the golf team. Everything's going to be just fine. Until now, I get called in the office, and the principal's the first one that speaks up. He says, Ron, never in the history of Chamberlain High School have we ever had to forfeit a match because of grades. I said, oops. I felt about that big. After I got in that room and they told me, my art teacher said, oh, he's a good artist. He could be a good artist one day. My psychology teacher says, oh, he's got a straight A attitude. He's never a problem inside the classroom. He just doesn't ever come. I had 52 absences that year. I mean, how are you going to learn anything if you're not there, you know? Well, I sat there and I got bummed out and I got through it, and he said, go back to class. So I went back to class and I said, well, what's the use of being here? Have all these absences, my golf career seems like it's going out the door. I'd already been offered 2 golf scholarships that year in my senior year. And I said, well, just what's the use? You know what I did? I had my flip-flops on. I walked across the road. I went to the store. I bought a case of beer. I put it on my shoulder and I walked down the railroad tracks. That was the way I was going to handle my problem. You know, the stupid thing about that is, you ever walk down a railroad tracks in flip-flops? and then add about, I didn't drink all the case. I drank about half of it. But walking down there and drink about half a case of beer, you know, and you already can't walk very well, and those little things are just like this, and you're falling all over yourself. And I walked just far enough to where I went about, I don't know, I may have been maybe 10 miles. Can you imagine that? 10 miles after school, it's getting dark, and I've got to figure out some way to get back home. Well, lo and behold, you know, I threw the other 6 packs on the ground. I said, what's the use? I can't even hardly see right now, so I might as well just walk home. So I went through Carrollwood, and I found somebody I knew in Carrollwood, and then they gave me a ride back home. Well, my life is over. Golf scholarships are out the door. Life is completely gone, and I had to start figuring out, okay, what is my life really going to be about now? You know what I did? I got my report card out, and I was looking at it. I think, man, you know, just a couple years ago, I was a straight-A student, and now look at it. And I thought to myself, what exactly am I going to do now that I want my life to be different? Well, somebody invited me to church. Amen. And when I got in church, the Holy Spirit started speaking to me, and I got saved. To this day, I remember, and my best friend, Gene Palmer, was the one who invited me to church. He was also partying with me, and he straightened up after that. Thank the Lord for that, too. We became like brothers. To this day, we're still like brothers. We don't see each other as much as we want to, but we're just like brothers. But you know, I went to that church right during a revival time, and the Spirit was working, and I got saved. You know, after I got saved, I sat in a cart barn at the golf course where I was working at, and I thought, how exactly is a Christian supposed to live now? Well, I looked at the bottom of that report card again, and it had some things in there that were real important that I think I need to give to you this morning. The first thing I came up with is that I had to learn to get prepared for my school year. My mom and dad used to take us as kids to, we used to have a J.M. Fields. Anybody remember J.M. Fields or, well, the Kmart? We had a Kmart there. My sister worked there. It's like a Walmart. So that's where we would always go to get our clothes and things for school. So, you know, to start a new school year, first you go out and you get all your new clothing. What does Ephesians 6, 10 through 11 say? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. The very first prerequisite to being in God's school is that you get yourself prepared. Now, if you're going to get yourself prepared, what does this preparation involve? Well, in our text verse, in chapter 3, verse number 27, it reads like this, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now, being prepared means you have a new appearance. Now, most of our kids right now are out of school. Parents are just getting edgy. They've got, what, 2 more months or something like that before school starts back up. But you remember the first day of school when you went to school and everybody was wearing all the brand new clothes? I mean, everybody went to the stores, and it's kind of funny because some of the preppy people that were in the school, they would go to the fancy stores and they'd get the really fancy clothes. And lo and behold, the poor girl, her mom just barely got enough money to buy that certain dress, and she's the poor girl. She came to school, and then the preppy girl wore hers that she bought at the same place, and they see each other. And that preppy girl thinks, I can't wear this. This is not any good anymore. You know, look, she wore that. But you know, appearance is everything when you're a kid. You get the new clothes, new jeans and t-shirts is what I always wore. But having a new appearance is new when you're a Christian. You got a new life. You're happy. I think a lot of the guys in my neighborhood just thought I was kind of lost my crazy, you know. I had plants growing on the top of our house. And I remember right after I had gotten saved, I went to the backyard. I put the ladder back on the flat part of the house where I had the things growing. My dad didn't know this. I don't know how, but he didn't know it. And put the ladder up there, got up there. And Mark, which lived 2 houses down, was one of my buddies. He come to the house. And as he looks around the corner, he sees all these flats of marijuana plants being thrown off the top of the roof. He said, "Ron, what are you doing?" Wait, he thought it was my dad or something up there, you know. And then he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm getting rid of all this stuff. I don't want this stuff around here anymore. I don't want no part of it." And he starts grabbing it, grabbing the roots. He's going to go take it and dry it out or something. He says, "Can I take it?" I said, "Get it out of here. Just get out. I don't care what you do with it. Get it out of here." Well, so I got rid of that because I felt like, you know, I'm a different person now. I'm a Christian now. You know, the first thing I did after I got saved is I went back and started telling my family that I was different, that I knew Christ as my Savior. And I had a burden for them. Man, I cried a lot of tears for my family. But you know, when they started to see in my life, my appearance changed a little bit. My desire for things changed a little bit. We also not only have a new appearance, we have new equipment. We always get our pens and pencils and stuff ready for school. Well, the one thing I got whenever I first got saved was a nickname. They called me Saint Ronnie. All my buddies would ride by in their four-wheel drive pickup trucks, you know, and they, "Oh, Ronnie, you know, Saint Ronnie," you know, because I'd always carry a Bible with me. Now, that's just something I just felt good about. I was professed as a religious person, you might say, moral person, and I didn't know hardly anything about the Bible, so I carried it everywhere I went. I went to Burger King, I laid it on the table, I went to my buddy's house, walked to his house about 2 miles down the road, I carried it with me, and so I was Saint Ronnie. You have new equipment, you have a new appearance, but also there is a different daily walk when you're in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, on that report card that I had, I looked at the very bottom and it had 5 or 6 things there that the public school system felt like was the most important things a person had to do in order to be the right kind of a student. Listen to this. The first one was excessive absences. Well, me with 52 days where I went and partied and went to the beach and didn't show up for class, didn't party very well, didn't come out very well. But I started saying, well, now I'm a Christian. What am I supposed to do now? Well, I read Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, I'm a new creation in Christ, just like these Galatians. They were trying to force the Galatian believers to get back underneath the law when they didn't need anything to do with the law. They were under grace. They were living a free life. They could do whatever they want to. And you know what? It got to a point where I like God's people. You know, you may not like me, I don't know. You may think I'm a little strange, and I am at times. You can ask my wife about that. But you know what? If we're in Jesus Christ, we are a part of a family. You know, I had told our home group whenever we had to stop the home group for a little bit because of the funeral, I told every one of them, I said, now I want you to do this for me. I said, I want everybody that goes to my home group, I want you to go over there to Mike's home group. I want everybody just to kind of stay in that gear. And I told him, I said, now I'll expect you when ours is back. I want you back over at mine. Because we all have one purpose, and that is to honor God and be a part of Calvary Chapel. We're all a big family. We don't need little schisms and things like that going on. We're just all working together. Well, we have a daily walk that is different. There's no excessive absences. Second thing it had on that report card was inattentive in class. Now, otherwise, I'd spend all my time going to the smoking area and smoking, then come back to class, and my eyes were always out the window. I didn't care what the teacher had to say. Well, isn't that like that when you're in Christ? You learn some things are more important now. I mean, excessive absences don't go along, but also inattentive in class. You know why I like to sit towards the front inside the church? It's because I want to hear every word the preacher has to say. You know, I've known people that say, oh, I'm going to church, and they always sit on the very back row of the church. Well, I was fortunate that my pastor back then, he used to tell us, he says, now, I want all of you young people, and we had it was an on fire group of young people. He said, I want all of you young people to be right up there on the front row every single service. Now, he couldn't enforce that or anything, but you know what? I took it to heart, and every time I came to church, I wanted to be in the front. I didn't want to have to see so-and-so going like this or Miss so-and-so talking to somebody else or something else going on. I wanted to focus my mind on what God was saying through the messenger. You know, and that's what you ought to get as far as a Christian. You're inattentive. Also, a third thing, and this is an amazing one as well, how can you ever pass your test if you're not in class? Well, failure on tests. You know, could it be that we're here today and God's put you through some tests? And those tests aren't very easy, and you feel like every once in a while, boy, I'm just failing. I just can't get the best of it. I can't get over it. Well, are you faithful? Are you in church? Are you serving God? Are you opening your word? Are you finding out the messages from God? Well, those things are all involved. If the school system thinks those things are important, why can't we remind ourselves God's school's no different? Failure on tests comes unprepared as well. How can you learn math without a math book or uses time unwisely? What's God as far as a priority for you? In our lives, God gives us the chance, and it is a chance and an opportunity to serve Him, to love Him, to do all we can to further His cause. All these things are important. We have to get prepared. We have a daily walk. But notice also there's also a performance in the book of Job 16, verse 19 says this. Also, now behold, my witness is in heaven and my record is on high. I was going to my graduation, and the week before that, my guidance counselor pulled me into class and she said, Ron, he says, you're not going to graduate this year. You're a senior. I said, your grades are not good enough for us to let you go. He said, you're going to have a good year, maybe a year and a half of summer school. I said, oh, wow, okay. So I already knew I wasn't going to graduate. Well, I put that in my mind, and that night when we had graduation, everybody had their gowns on. Everybody was in line. My friend Gary Cromer was right next to me, Kruger Cromer, you know. And so we're going through the line, and I started looking out at all the people in the crowd. We had 800 and something people graduated in our graduating class. And so we're going up to the platform and they tell you, go on up there and you're going to get your fake diploma. They always give you the fake one there and you got to get the other one in the cafeteria. Well, I got my fake diploma. I nodded my head and did what you're supposed to do and shook the guy's hand. I thought to myself, what a farce. I'm not even going to get to graduate. And so I grabbed my fake diploma and I walked down the steps. Well, right behind me, and this is one thing that my best friend is known for now, we played Frisbee all the time. We were good at it. I hate to say it, but we were good at it. Well, my friend Sam Edwards is in the crowd. He throws a Frisbee to my buddy. My buddy, in a gown, jumps up, leaps frogs, and catches the Frisbee underneath his legs, and they took pictures of it. And it went in the next yearbook, I think. But that's what his fame, that was his element of fame during his high school. But the whole thing I'm getting to, and that is our performance, how are we going to graduate? You can look out all those crowds of people. I knew I wasn't going to graduate, and I thought, well, so-and-so had honors, so-and-so got scholarships, so-and-so has this. And look at all these people that had all this promise. You know why? Because they put themselves to the task. They studied. They worked on their classes. They were in class. They did all the things they needed to do to have a successful school year. You know, I look back and I thought, man, I just wasted it. Well, our Christian life is going to be kind of like that because all of us have an opportunity to do something. When we get to heaven, are we going to do like Greg had said earlier? Are we going to be able to take the crowns that we've earned through life and throw them at Jesus' feet? Are we going to be able to stop and say, or he's going to say of us, well done, thou good and faithful servant? You know, all of us have a chance now to graduate with honors, or are you going to graduate with dishonors? It's a sad thing to think about as I got that fake diploma, is what if I had worked in school all those years, worked at my classes, had good grades, kept the grades up, graduated with honors, but what if my name was never written down in the book? Now, I ran into a person that was like that, a kid that he transferred from one school to another, and at graduating time, they told him, he said, well, now, we don't even have you in the book. All the teachers just sketched his name in when he came into class the first part of the year and said, okay, he must be one of our students and put his name down. And he worked hard, had good grades. But when it came down to graduation, they had to pause. And he had to wait till later to graduate because they had never put his name in the book. Let me please beg you this morning that if you have never come to know Christ as your own personal Savior, ever since I went through these things in my life, and I see it in the life of the Galatian believers, there's always people around you that say, this is the way to live. Do it this way. But the one thing that matters is, what does God say? Well, we're all sinners. We all need to be saved. We need to come to Christ to be saved. We admit that we're sinners, and we accept Him into our own life as a Savior. Well, if you've never done that today, doesn't matter how good works you do, doesn't matter how good you are to other people, if your name's not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time. Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.